message. Just wanted to acknowledge a few things. There were a lot of birthdays this week, and if I missed some, forgive me. But I want to especially acknowledge Alexis, who's here singing today. Her birthday is today, and can I say your age? She's turning 25 today. So I always ask a woman if I could tell her age. So. And yesterday, Lacey Day, Joey was with us. He was 40 years old yesterday. That's hard to believe ever since we're only 45. And I know Jerry had a birthday this week, right? So happy birthday, Jerry. 35, right? God bless you. And if I missed others, forgive me, but happy birthday to those who deserve it. One of the most eerie feelings I ever experienced as a teenager was sitting in my living room in our house in Rutherford, and from our living room picture window, we had a view of the New York City skyline, the Empire State Building and all the great skyscrapers up there. And one night, I believe it was in November, I'm watching the 5 o'clock news and the television just started to get fuzzy and the picture went out. And I look out the window and I see the New York City skyline going dark. It's amazing. You know, I wasn't used to looking out that window and not seeing the city. It was like it wasn't there anymore. My father worked in the Battery in downtown. And he happened to be in the elevator of the building he was working in, and he got stuck in the elevator. So he managed to get out through the trap door that they have. He found a door, you know, where the floor is, opened the door, and he couldn't see anything. There were no such thing as emergency lights back then. And the building, unless you were in an office, the hallways had no windows. So it was pitch black. So he found a wall, put his back up against it, and just sat down until morning. During the night, people were coming in selling batteries and flashlights. This was back in the 60s. I forget the exact year, but this was back in the 60s. 65, thank you. 1965. You're as old as I am. Thank you, Carl. 1965. People coming in selling batteries at a ridiculous price and flashlights at $50, right? But I remember my father saying one thing that always caught my attention. He says, when I saw the light, I knew we were okay. When I saw the light, I knew we were okay. Those of us who experienced Sandy, I mean, we were out of power for more than 2 weeks. And we take for granted light, don't we? The park yesterday at Lacey Day, we had a good time. There were some other churches there, for which I'm grateful, who are dedicated to the Bible and the truth of Christ. And I had the assurance that in that place, there was light. There was light. I want to suggest to you this morning that God's light is still very bright. And I just want to ask this morning, are we paying attention to God's light? Are we paying attention? Tommy over here, who's my bodyguard, has a passion for lighthouses. And do you know the purpose of a lighthouse? It was to guide ships in the dark to a safe harbor, correct? I took this down. By the way, Ron, you remember Ronnie Austin?
Yes.
She gave this to us, okay? And it's a picture of the lighthouse. And from Psalm 43:3, it says, send forth your light and truth. Let them guide me. I'm going to give you, generally speaking, whoops, that's okay. That was my fault. generally speaking, I'm going to give you my take on all of this. My take on all of this is this, that God is still shouting at us, and his light will never fail. No amount of darkness in this world, and the world's getting darker. No amount of darkness in this world will ever extinguish his light. My question is, are we so busy, are we so blind that we're not paying attention anymore? And I think that's a valid question. Would you read with me this passage before, well, I'll read it to you, you follow along. But before I read this, I want to let you know when darkness came into the world. Darkness came into the world when Adam sinned. When he decided he knew better than God, that God really didn't mean what he said. Now, those of you who have been in the Sunday school class, in the adults, we're looking at worldviews, right? Our worldviews go faulty as believers when we start to believe God doesn't really know what he's talking about. Or we know better than God. And so we encounter troubles. So sin and darkness came into the world the moment Adam rebelled. And there are times when we as a Christ follower, we can be in the presence of evil, and if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, we will sense a darkness. Isn't that true? Have you ever had that experience? But we don't have to be afraid, because the light of Christ will always shine in that darkness. Look at this passage with me. I'm going to bring you through the verses kind of quickly. So I will always remind you, Peter says, of these things. Some of you get tired of me repeating things. You know why I repeat them? Because they're important. When we grew up in North Jersey where they had sidewalks, and we were small, I can't tell you how many times my mother and father would say to me, look both ways before you cross. They never assumed I learned it, okay? Bless you. Look both ways before you cross. We need to be reminded, and we need to be reminded often, because just like the ancient Hebrews, we forget the next day. And Peter knows this. The believers at this time were starting to experience persecution. It's easy to get discouraged when these things are happening. And so he says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established, excuse me, in the truth you now have. How many of you have read the Bible several times? I wish there were more. But I can't assume, and I don't assume this in my life, I can't assume just because you've read the Bible several times, you know everything. I especially can't assume that if you read the Bible and you read it several times that and you learned something, that you still remember it. I can't assume that. I just can't assume it. You know why? Because the older I get, the more I forget. I need to be reminded. I love it. Not that I've ever done this, okay? But I love it when somebody's looking for their glasses. And they're on their head, you know? You know, it's the same type of thing. Peter knows, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He knows human nature. And so he starts to write these things. I need to remind you. Not only that, he says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. In other words, as long as God gives me life, I'm going to keep reminding you. You may get annoyed at me. You may say, I know this already, but I need to keep reminding you, because I know that I will be soon be put aside, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I can understand that, because quite honestly, I don't know if this is the last sermon I'll preach to you. I don't have a guarantee for tomorrow, right? So when I preach, I'm going to give you all I got. That's my responsibility to you. And I will make every, what's the word? Effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So hopefully in churches, if for some reason, a pastor leaves or God calls a pastor home, the leadership now is going to say, we need to bring somebody in who will keep reminding us of these truths. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses. Is there anybody here who doesn't believe they need reminders? Who keeps lists? Okay. Whether it's on a computer or it's written. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever go back to a list and think you put something down and you didn't? Worse yet, did you go to your list and think you wrote something and it wasn't there? All right. So you see, you know, how our memory can fail us sometimes. The fact of the matter is we need to be reminded. We need to, especially as Christ followers, be reminded of God's grace, God's love, and the dangers that are out there, the traps for that Satan may have planned for us, or not even to fall into traps of our own sinful nature. Secondly, we need to be reminded that what we are talking about here today is not the invention of a man. It's not a myth. That's what the word is used here. Cleverly devised stories in the original language is mythos, which is where we get the word myth from. It's not a myth that somebody made up or somebody devised to make money or anything like that. This was not man-made. This was something that was supernatural. This was something initiated by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it is real. And Peter is saying, look, this is not something I made up. This is not something any man has made up. But we were eyewitnesses to the majesty and the power of Jesus Christ. I think he's referring to here the instance where John, James, and Peter went to the mount and they saw Jesus in his holiness. We call that the Mount of Transfiguration. And they were so awed by that because Moses was there, Elijah was there, and they saw the Christ in his power and his glory. And then the voice came from heaven saying, what? This is my son. The Father said that, in whom I am well pleased. And Peter's saying, this is not made up. We are witnesses. Look at verse 17. He says, he received honor and glory from the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory. This is my son, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. It's almost a shame that we live in such a pragmatic culture, because what that has done for all of us, and again, we talked about this morning, we tend to catch our culture like we catch a cold. Well, what that has done for us, our culture doesn't want to leave any room for mystery. Doesn't want to leave any room for things for which we cannot really explain scientifically. When the Bible is full of things that you and I have not witnessed. True? Peter witnessed this. I didn't. Peter witnessed this. But God's given me the faith to believe this is true. This is true. In fact, in the scriptures it says, blessed are those who have seen me and believed. And Jesus goes on to say, but how much more blessed are those who believe who have not seen me? And that's where faith comes in. God's light was always here. God's light is still here. We are told as believers to be light of the world. That's why we sang, shine, Jesus, shine, this morning. God's light is here. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody here think the world is getting better? then whose light are we going to shine? Do you realize that if we don't let the light of Christ shine through us, people who are living in darkness have no hope. They'll be just like my father in a building without windows in the great blackout of 1965. He didn't move from there until the sun came up. And, you know, back in those days, we didn't have cell phones, right? There was nothing. I mean, my mother was a worrier. She was worried sick. We didn't know if he was alive or what, and, you know, whatever. And then in the morning when they had the power return, partially he was able to get to a payphone and call. But light means a lot. Always has. The gospel is not a myth. The accounts that come from the Old Testament from the Old Testament and the eyewitness accounts are true. It's amazing to me because this is what ties are good for, by the way. Read commentaries on the book of Revelation, and there's always been a debate about who wrote it. Was it Peter? I'm sorry. Was it John the Apostle? You know, was it a different John? And to me, I'm not a scholar like these guys, but there's no question in my mind it was the Apostle John. One of the questions that comes up is, well, you see, you can't take Revelation seriously because if it was the Apostle John, he was over 90 years old at this point when he wrote this, so he was senile. I've heard that argument. And I'm saying, what are we, stupid? God gave him this incredible revelation, which is incredibly consistent with the rest of the scriptures, especially the prophets. And we have the nerve to say something like that? Well, it gets better. We also have the prophetic message. Prophetic. You had Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jonah, Malachi. I mean, I can go on and on. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable that you will do well to what? God's word is the light. Didn't we say that before? Your word is what? The lamp unto my feet to guide my very steps. We do well in this dark place to pay attention to the light. And I'm talking to Christ's followers. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. I think this is talking about the second coming of Christ. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. In other words, the prophet didn't just say, I'm just going to write something down here. The prophet had to hear from God. And he had to hear from God through the Holy Spirit. Because the prophet was not allowed to write any words down except what God told him. Got that? The prophets never said anything new. They always said what God said. They always said what was consistent with the Bible. A prophet's job was always to say, repent. You're going off track. Repent. Repent of the sin that you so easily entertain in your life and come back by faith to the God who loves you. That was the message of the prophets. That was the message of the last prophet we have recorded in the Bible, and that is who? John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. The light of the world. John was in a dark culture. He was in a culture of religious legalism. He was in a culture that was politically upside down. Sound familiar? He was in a culture that was economically stressed. People were taxed until they had no money left. And this eccentric guy by the name of John decides to go out into the desert near the water, put on sackcloth in the desert, Can you picture burlap against you in the hot heat? Makes a diet of locust and honey, high protein at least, high sugar, and starts proclaiming this message. Everybody thought he was nuts. Everybody thought he was nuts. He was the light of God because God hadn't spoken in 400 years. He was the light of God trying to get the attention of sinners like us to say someone better is coming, someone who will forgive your sin because he's going to take it on at the cross and his blood will wipe us clean by faith. People thought he was nuts, yet people responded, right? You know what Jesus says of John the Baptist? There has been never anyone better, including Moses. Oh. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but the prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by who? The Holy Spirit. Now listen. Part of a pastoral office is to be prophetic. And again, you're not going to hear any new revelation. That's not what the word means. Prophetic means that part of our ministry is to call people back to God, to repent of sin you may be getting comfortable with, to come back to hit the light and the holiness. I can't emphasize this more than I can today. I'm sensing, and I'll stand corrected, but I'm sensing in this world, and let me just say in our culture, because I can only speak for our culture, that people are more stressed, that people are more skeptical, that people are honestly looking for something better, but have no idea where to look. Most times we look in the wrong places. We either look in the wrong places or we run from our problems. Even Christ followers. And I would suggest to you, we don't have to look anywhere else but the light of Christ, the light of the Word, the light of what is in here to show us a better way, the light of what's in here to guide our steps through difficult times, the light of what is in here to transform us from the inside out. The light of God is still shining, even though our culture is trying to put it out. Trying to put it out. I mean, there's no secret about it. They're trying to put it out. They've put it out in the public schools. They've put it out in courthouses. They've put it out in as many places as they can get. Not too long ago, you know, how many of you have been to the Great Auditorium up in Ocean Grove? Okay. Not too long ago, they rented that facility out to a group and they decided that the cross was offensive. They had to cover the cross. Now, the cross is an offense. You know why? Because when we face the cross, we have to face our own sinfulness and our pride. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. But then some churches followed and started covering the cross because it might be too offensive. How are we going to do anything if we're going to extinguish the light of God? We can extinguish the light of God in our homes. We don't read our scriptures. We don't pray. We don't even eat dinner together much anymore, do we? In families. We cover it with busyness. We cover it with all sorts of different agendas. And we're too busy. I'm too busy. how in the world, even in Christian homes, will we cover the light of God? Sometimes I think we treat the light of God like a flashlight, that we only turn it on when we really, really need it. Instead of saying, Lord, you gave me breath today. Lord, you got me up out of bed. For some of us, that's a challenge, right? Lord, you got me up out of bed. Lord, show me your light and how I can glorify you today. In the home, in school, in the community, in the church, in the neighborhood. I thank you all who contributed to Lacey Day yesterday, because I know the light of God was there. I don't take that lightly. I thank you all for making this church possible, because this church in a storefront is still the light of God, because the gospel is preached here. But I want to challenge all of us to take that light and shine it wherever we are out there, because that's the only hope that people have in this dark world. So, simple today. Will we make ourselves available to God's reminders and be alert? Will we be obedient by faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit to the light of the Word of God? Will we be willing to exercise true faith and repentance in regard to sin? And be honest. In the juvenile detention center, there was a light. For a kid who, I hope he doesn't get insulted that I'm calling him a kid, but for a kid who had been through difficult times. And if we're not for that light through Bill Quist, where would he go? Where would he go? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. It's up to us to go from here in the power of the Holy Spirit and be light in a dark world, not in a phony way, not in a holier than thou, but as somebody who has struggled and continues to struggle and knows the grace of God in their lives. Amen. Bill?